Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
That one of the biggest pieces of meeting your person is first 100% being in love with yourself. And I'm talking particularly to women.
Okay.
A man doesn't fall in love with you because you are in love with him. He falls in love with you because you are in love with you.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes as women, we sort of think about, well, what would a man want? And I'm not saying we change our whole personality to fit into that, or we change who we are. But I think a lot of the times, like, that is a top consideration for us. And we might start to, you know, put ourselves in position to change based on, well, what do we believe a man would want? And kind of, you know, maybe become a chameleon at times. And you're, well, this man might want this, this man might want that. When in reality, like, you have to stay true to who you are, because that is what a man falls in love with.
All right, Style Crew, we are back with another episode. And this episode is actually a part of our relationship series. And I'm extremely excited to have our guest here today. We have Tanisha, who is a very trusted matchmaking expert of the Broom List. And I can't wait for you all to hear her expertise on all things dating, love, marriage, situationships, everything in between, and to provide us with some practical advice, but also some optimism, which has seemed to be missing from some of the conversations around these particular topics right now. So I want to welcome you in by reading out your bio. Tanisha Wood is a matchmaker, dating coach, and U.S. Army veteran dedicated to helping marriage-minded Black professionals find lasting love. As the founder of The Broom List, the first matchmaking firm exclusively for high-caliber Black singles, she blends relationship science, cultural insight, and strategic coaching to create meaningful connections. Known for her genuine connection with clients and the trust she builds, Tanisha provides honest, personalized guidance, helping them attract and sustain fulfilling partnerships while holding them accountable to their relationship. And with that, Style Crew, we want to welcome Tanisha in. Welcome to Style and Conversation. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So I just want to tell the listeners that I'm extremely excited to have you here. I actually first came across you and your platform through a Today Show visit. So everyone, she is completely legit. So yeah, I just want to give you the opportunity by starting out telling us, what is The Broom List and what is the origin behind the name? Because names mean so many things.
Absolutely. So The Broom List is a matchmaking service for educated Black professionals who want, you know, long-term commitment and marriage. The reason for the name is after the tradition of jumping the broom. And so as some of you already know, you know, back in the day, think back to slavery, African-Americans were not allowed to marry. And so to signify their love and union, they would drop the broom. And that is how that tradition started, which still happens a lot today in weddings. You know, a lot of African Americans still use that as a way to symbolize their love and their commitment to each other.
I love that. I really love that idea. And I also want to give you the opportunity, because journey to entrepreneurship is never easy, but it's always worth it. And yep. One thing my previous guest said, her name actually is Tanisha of Your Other Mind. She's a spiritual strategist. And so mm-hmm. we discussed implementing a spiritual strategy for your life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she said towards the end of the episode is just how brave, bold, courageous you have to be to get up every day as an entrepreneur and pursue that vision that has been placed on your heart. Because some days you may not have receipts. Like, yes, you may have a wildly successful business, but it may not start out that way. I want to ask you and just give you the opportunity to share the part of your story that you're comfortable sharing with the listeners. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to pursue this as a business? What was your why?
A lot of what I do just comes from my own personal needs and that I've seen around of friends of mine around me. So, you know, when I was in my 20s and dating, I saw that all my friends were single, but they wanted to meet people. And same with me. So that's really why I started the Broomless. But how I got here was a little bit of a journey. So I was in corporate sales for many years. You know, I went to college, graduated, and then right away got a corporate job. You know, I kind of did what you were supposed to do. Very early into that job, I knew that I had zero passion for it. And I'm talking like week one. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Because I would observe other people, and I saw that they maybe did have a passion, or at least liked it, or were like engaged in a certain way. And I just never felt that. I never felt like the things I was doing when I was working in corporate were important or were necessarily impacting lives in the way that I would have wanted to. So it would take many years though, from that discovery week one to where I actually, you know, did the planning and came up with a strategy to actually leave. That would be, you know, 10 years later almost. Starting out, like I said, I started in corporate. I was traveling around. I was traveling a lot. So I moved quite a bit for my job. So I started in Minneapolis, then went to San Francisco, New York, Dallas, all over. But the main thing that I had discovered while traveling was I was meeting a lot of like-minded people, a lot of Black women. And again, like I said prior, we were all having that same issue where I'm like, you're all beautiful. You're all really successful. You're all overly educated. Why are you not meeting your person? You should be, right, by all accounts. And so when I first was in California, I think this was like 2009 timeframe, I started online dating at that time. You know, you'd literally go get on a computer and log into like match.com. And I started meeting guys.
You got mail.
Huh?
Like you got mail.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this was not an app on a phone. Mm-hmm. And I started meeting guys, and it was a fun process for me. And at that point I wanted to meet somebody, but you know, I was in my 20s, so I wasn't like trying to get married or anything. I just, you know, wanted to meet people that I could connect with. And I would meet guys and I was like, you know, he's cool, but like not necessarily like for me. And I started sort of keeping a little database. And so when I, you know, had girlfriends, I would be like, hey, you might like this guy. I went out with him last week, you know, not necessarily for me, but like, here's what I think you might like about him. And so that was really the beginnings of the Broomless before I even knew it. And then friends of friends started asking like, hey, do you know anybody? And then by the time I moved to New York City, it was sort of the same thing where, you know, I'm meeting people through apps at that point. And then friends of friends were asking, do you know anybody? And I was like, you know, I really like this. Like, I really like the process of getting to know somebody, getting to know two people and saying, mm-hmm. hey, I think that you guys might like these same things. I think that you guys could connect in this way. And so I started at that point slowly getting into coaching and helping people with like dating profiles. And I was still doing corporate this whole time. And the more I started doing my own thing with the dating, with the coaching and, you know, profiles and things like that, I really liked it. And I was like, I have a passion for this. Like, I want to come home and do this. And then I'd see people at work and I'd just be like, my God, you love this. I don't. And so yeah, in 2015, I started my podcast. It was called Dating, Relationships, and Love. At that same time, I was on a show called Black Love. It was a sort of like a Black Sex in the City. So all, you know, piece by piece, little things in my world started becoming more and more about dating and about relationships. And then I believe it was in 2017, maybe, was the first time I quit my job. And, you know, that was, I probably did that a little too soon because I didn't necessarily have all my ducks in a row, but I just had this extreme passion where I was just like, I'm going to figure it out. And, you know, you got to have some money to figure it out. Okay. Let's be real. And
just
so
just a little bit.
So, so, you know, I had to go back to corporate while I figured that piece out. And, you know, and at that point started kind of saving up and doing a little bit more proper planning. And then fast forward to 2020, I'd had a bunch of coaching clients. This was during the pandemic. And, a lot of them were like, I've done all the things you've said, but I'm stuck in the house. So like, how do I meet the person? And I'd had the idea for the Broom List for quite a while. And that's when I really decided, you know what, it's just time to start it. Started the Broom List in November of 2020. And it was great because it got really great reception right away because it was needed. You know, that is the main thing that I saw is that when I told people about it, they were like, light bulb, duh, we need something like this. Right. So pretty much it took off right away. And things have been good since. I mean, as an entrepreneur, you know, things go up and down and you learn every day. You learn more about yourself. You learn more about your business. You learn more about your clients. And I think it's at a really good place right now where there's a balance for me. In that, you know, I have a family and so I have to have a balance.
Can I just say, I love that I asked you for a deeper dive because you just lit up when you started talking about, and this is why, it just to be transparent with the listeners, I didn't include this question on the list of questions that I sent over to her. But I wanted to just give you the chance to spotlight how you got to this point. And I'm glad that I did, because everything that you highlighted, it's very important and ties into your business, even like your own dating experience of how you met these guys and were like, okay, you're amazing, but I don't think we're a fit. But I have a girlfriend that you could be great for, and you started matchmaking that way. So a few things I took away and I wanted to ask you about that you touched on when you were sharing that with us, which thank you, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first thing I wanted to ask you is, what would you say to an individual who has this vision within them and they have the same feeling that you feel? They don't feel the passion behind their 9-to-5 corporate position, whatever it may be. What advice would you offer them?
Yeah. You know, I think when we try to shift from one thing to another, whatever that is in life, it feels overwhelming because we're thinking about the whole picture. So you might be a person that's thinking, well, right now I work 9-to-5 in corporate and that is how I make all my money. And so how am I going to work 9-to-5 for myself and make all that money? So you're essentially starting from zero and you're thinking about the full picture. I want you to just think about it in like small bites and small steps. So, all right, let's say you want to be a matchmaker. Like, what, how do you matchmake somebody today? How could you do that? Right? Do you have a friend that's single, and how would you go about helping that friend meet somebody? Like, what advice would you give her? So start doing the thing you want to do in very small ways as much as you can and build on that. So don't go from, I'm now working a corporate 9-to-5 to tomorrow I need to start this matchmaking business and it needs to like make money and fulfill my complete income. So in the small ways that you can, in your circle even, with the resources that you currently have, test it that way. Like, see if it is something you want to do, see if you can do it, see if you still have that passion for it, and like build up and work up to it. But you know, I'm a person like that too, where sometimes I get overwhelmed by thinking, oh my God, there is so much to do. But I really try to think of it, you know, there's like a saying, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? And it's one bite at a time. But I literally picture this elephant and I'm just like, just eat a little piece of the foot. Like, just eat a little piece of the trunk. Don't feel like you have to swallow the whole thing at once.
I just heard that last night. So that's fate that you
mentioned
that as well.
Yep.
So the other thing that I wanted to ask you, as you started your process of matchmaking these beautiful, talented, successful women in your life, I know you mentioned that you, on paper, you have all these things. Why have you not found someone? I want to ask you, because I know that, and this question by no means is meant to be insulting to anyone, but I want to raise this question for educational purposes, because I've heard this conversation from people, even in the stage when I was dating and single now. I know what my answer was. I just had not met my person, but I have found girlfriends that get that question of, oh, you're so beautiful, you're so this, you're so that, why are you single? In your experience, and as also being a professional, do you feel like it's a situation where it's like...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Nature versus nurture, meaning like they just haven't met their person yet, and or there are some practical things that could be put in place to attract what it is that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And please forgive me if I didn't phrase that in the right way.
And what I know now that I didn't know then is that one of the biggest pieces of meeting your person is first 100% being in love with yourself. And I'm talking particularly to women.
Okay.
A man doesn't fall in love with you because you are in love with him. He falls in love with you because you are in love with you.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes as women, we sort of think about, well, what would a man want? And I'm not saying we change our whole personality to fit into that or we change who we are, but I think a lot of the times like that is a top consideration for us. And we might start to, you know, put ourselves in position to change based on, well, what do we believe a man would want? And kind of, you know, maybe become a chameleon at times and you're, well, this man might want this, this man might want that. When in reality, like you have to stay true to who you are because that is what a man falls in love with. Like I'm just trying to think of the best way to say
it. No, don't apologize.
A man wants you if you desire you. You know what I'm saying? Like if you are essentially chasing him and doing for him, it's not desirable to him. If you are the type of person where you're like, you prioritize yourself, then he will prioritize you. So if you're like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like I'm doing my workout today. I can't go out with you. Like my workouts are really important to me. That is what I do from 5 to 7 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So you kind of have to just fit in my life where you get in my life. And I'm not saying play games. I'm not saying play hard to get, but I am saying be so in love with yourself that you always come first and work on yourself. Like truly. And people see that. They feel that. They feel that energy. They feel when you are desperate and they feel when you are confident. So one of the keys, I think, to answer your question, one of the keys is understanding yourself, knowing what you need to work on, working on those things, and truly loving yourself. So anything you want somebody to give to you, you should already be giving it to yourself. And that energy, they feel it. I'm telling you, I've seen it with clients. Once they make that shift and that energy shift, like they change what and who they attract.
Okay. I'm really glad I asked that question because it was, that was more profound than what I thought. That's why you're the expert. That is why you're the expert. Okay. So my next question for you, can you walk us through the history of matchmaking and its evolution to present day with apps and social media all the things?
Well, matchmaking is one of the oldest professions. And I mean, if you ever watch any show set in any time, pre-modern times, you'll always see some element of matchmaking. And generally, it was based on either royalty or wealth, or, you know, you need to marry into this type of family to keep our dynasty alive. But it was always based on a long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. Rarely was it based on, you'll love this person. And in modern times, in our culture anyway, it has shifted to more, you know, I want to be with this person because I love them. And a lot of other cultures still today, so think like some Indian cultures, some Jewish cultures, it's not necessarily just based on, I think you're going to love this person. It's still based on some of those old ideals. And I actually agree with that in a lot of ways. Like, there is a reason that arranged marriages even now have a way lower divorce rate than traditional marriages.
Right? I'm glad you brought that up. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I heard a friend shared that with me recently because I met a young lady, a colleague on a work trip, and she's of Indian descent, and her family is starting to have the conversation around an arranged marriage. And she was just educated because I'm Black. Right. I'm from Mobile, Alabama. I don't know. I'm not familiar with an arranged marriage, not in my culture anyway. Right. I'm aware of it, but I don't have personal experience with it, rather. And so we were having the conversation, and another friend of mine joined in on the conversation, and he was just saying those marriages actually have a lower divorce rate. And I haven't done any research to back that up, so I just took his opinion, his statement at face value. So I'm glad that you shared that with the listeners.
And a lot of times it's based on values, it's based on morals, it's based on what both people want for the future. And then the love grows because those elements are there. And I sort of matchmake with, you know, that same idea in mind, that if I match you with somebody who, you know, you guys share the same morals, values, you have the same goals, you have a lot of things in common. It's not just about, you know, do I like this person initially? Like, I truly think that chemistry can grow and it can build. I think the idea of butterflies right away and love right away, like, that's beautiful. And that's lovely when that happens. But oftentimes, that is more about what that person, like, does for, you know, our nervous system. Like, they kind of, if they're unpredictable a little bit, they might give us those butterflies. They might be like, we don't know what to expect next. And like, we as human beings, like, we like excitement. We like a surprise. We like a, oh my God, what's going to happen? This is like why we go see scary movies. Like, we know we're going to be scared, but we're like, ah, you're here for the thrill. And so sometimes when you feel those things early on with a person that you're dating, there's some thrill in it. And the thrill is the unpredictability of it. And this is why sometimes when, you know, this is how people end up in situationships. You're like dating a person and you're not sure what it is. You're not sure what they're going to do next. And like, especially if you are not typically used to a stable situation, that's going to feel exciting for you. And you're going to chase that high, if you will. And so I don't always believe in this. I didn't feel butterflies right away. I didn't feel the fire. I didn't feel the spark. You mean you didn't feel the drama? And so I prefer to match on just those core elements of compatibility. And, you know, I hate to say this, but at the end of the day, love is simply not enough. If you were with somebody and I said, why do you want to marry him? And you said, I love him. Okay, cool. What else? Mm-hmm. What else? Like, yeah. I believe he will provide a stable home for the family I want. He has good morals. He is like, but love, just love, not enough. Not enough.
Mm. Hey, Style Crew. I'm excited to tell you about another one of our amazing sponsors for season 2 of Style and Conversation, Armoire Boutique. And if you follow me on Instagram, you know that they are one of my favorite boutiques and I have shopped them for years. I always shout them out and tag them when I'm wearing their pieces. And I'll continue to do so because I absolutely love the quality of their pieces and the pricing is always affordable. And one of the other things that I love is that they are size inclusive, offering sizes 0 to 22. So this is a place that if you want to go shopping with your girlfriends, if you happen to be in the New Orleans area, no one has to feel left out. You can really have a fun, interactive experience. And that's the way it should be because fashion and style is for everyone, honey. And so just to tell you a little bit more about Armoire Boutique, they are a size inclusive women's apparel boutique located on Metairie Road in Old Metairie, which is in the New Orleans, Louisiana area. Their fun and friendly shop features clothing in sizes 0 to 22, shoes, accessories, and so much more. Shop online with a $6 flat rate shipping on all orders. And if you have any questions or comments, the ladies at Armoire are always so engaging and willing to give you any help in terms of sizing, wanting to know what's still available, and all of the things. And of course, you know I have a code for my listeners. The code is JESS10. That is JESS10. So you can use that if you shop online at armoireboutique.com. That is spelled ArmoireBoutique.com. Make sure to check them out if you are also in the New Orleans area and shop in person and tell the girls that Jess sent you. With that, let's jump back into this episode.
Hate to say it, but it's true. It's just not enough.
I am loving this conversation. I am. So do you find that the mindset is hard to it's hard to break the habit of being attracted to the chemistry and I have butterflies and do you find that that's a hard mindset to break maybe because we've been encouraged to view dating and marriage that way?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think if you think about how we as a society grow up, we watch like Disney movies and that we're informed by that at a young age where, you know, you meet the Prince Charming and there's like the butterflies and he's so sweet and he's doing the grand gesture. And like, you know, from the time you're a little girl, these ideas start to build a foundation in your head and eventually they become ingrained as like, this is how it is supposed to be, and this is how it is supposed to feel. Rarely do you see this because it doesn't make for good TV, frankly. You don't see like, oh, they met and things move kind of slow, and then he was really stable and she was really stable, and they built and they built and they became really close. Like, it just doesn't make for a good story, quite frankly. So you don't see that. So when that happens, it feels boring. It feels like it's just not good enough. It's not exciting. It's not sweeping me off my feet. But like a true long, if you talk to anybody that's been married for a very long time, like, yeah, sometimes they have those love stories that start out that way. But oftentimes they'll talk about how they got through the minutiae and the boringness that sometimes is life. You know, I am a new mother. Well, I guess it's not new anymore. He's 2 now, which is crazy. But, you know, before we had our son, like, our life was very exciting. We sort of met in this whirlwind sort of way. We then spent, like, a summer in Europe. We were traveling all over. Like, amazing, right? Amazing. Mm-hmm. Then we had this baby. And life slows down a lot.
Right.
And at that point, you have to decide, like, do I really like this person? Or do I like the excitement of what was happening? And most of life, especially if you have a family, is going to be sort of these day-to-day boring moments. And you better like the person that you're having those day-to-day boring moments with. And so that is why, going back to, I talk about values, morals, and compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
If I just liked you when we were jet setting in Europe, and now we're just sitting in the suburbs playing tag with this child, like, I better still like you.
Yes. I really like that. And I agree with you that I was just having this conversation with a girlfriend about seeing someone through all seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, similar, not the same thing, but similar to what you were saying, because you are going to have seasons of life. Like,
yep.
You'll get to that point where, you know, you never really stop. You stop raising your kids, but the parenting becomes different. But they're out of the house.
Exactly.
You have the time, just the two of you together. Okay, so now you have more time to live it up and go on the trips. But, you know, there may be a wide gap of years where it's tutoring and shuffling them to soccer and basketball or whatever they're doing, and as well as maintaining a household. You may have to care for aging parents, like whatever that. And by the way, I'm not an expert. I have yet to be married. I just want to preface that for the listener.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In case anyone tries to come for me and say, what do you know? I don't. I have been in a long-term relationship, so I can speak to seeing someone through the seasons, but I just want to preface that I cannot yet speak to the marriage portion. So, but I agree with you on that. And do you find that right now in society, because we have more access to the highlights of people's lives, that mindset is a little tricky to shake?
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, it's a highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very fortunate to have a lot of friends that are in the same life stage as me, meaning, you know, newly married or just starting to have children in their late 30s or 40s. And I'm so glad that I have that network, because I speak very frankly and very honestly to my friends, and they do that with me as well. And in that, I've realized a lot of people are going through the same things. So regardless of what is on Instagram or TikTok, people struggle with a lot of the same issues, particularly when they're starting a family. So yeah, I want people to think about that as they're going through social media. And we're humans, so of course we're gonna compare. Of course you're gonna see somebody that's like maybe at the same life place, and you're like, well, they have this and I do this and they do that.
Yeah.
Trust me when I say everybody is going through their stuff, no matter how big of a smile they have on their face, no matter how well they're doing it, they're still going through it. So there is no sense in comparing. Like, every single person is on their own journey, but we're all human beings and we all feel the same things at the end of the day.
Okay. And I like that you shared that practical advice for people to not get so fixated on the comparison, because comparison really is the thief of joy, and it can be, mm-hmm. I've been guilty of it, and it can be easy to fall down that rabbit hole. So I'm glad mm-hmm. that you shared that piece of advice for anyone that may be in a relationship, but there are certain things they're navigating, or someone that may be single and comparing to someone else, or whatever the case may be.
And when you think about it too, this is the thing about comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you wanting the thing that you see because you want the thing, or you just want the thing because you see other people with the thing?
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, really think about that. So
yeah.
whatever it is that you see and you're admiring, really ask yourself, like, is that the thing that I want for real? Or do I just believe I should have it because I see another woman of the same age and place in life having that thing? Like,
yeah.
You know, this is like going back to what I said about me entering corporate when I got out of college.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that I had taken the time to sit down and say, well, Tanisha, like, if you could do anything, what would you do? And in asking myself those questions, I probably would have gotten to where I am a lot sooner. I mean, you know, the journey is the journey, and I'm glad to have had all of it. But mm-hmm. I think about that a lot. And I think about the advice that I then gave to my little brother. I was like, yo, when you leave school, like, don't get a corporate job unless that's really what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make any money now, and you won't get used to it right away. Like, build and build and build your thing. And he's a filmmaker, and I'm so glad
I love that.
And so again, like, sit down and think about you as an individual. Get to know who you are and what your needs are. It doesn't matter what place you think you are supposed to be at in life, but like, really make sure the things that you're going after are actually important for you.
You know, I want to expand on that just really quickly. And pivot just for a second from our questions.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you encourage the listeners to do that, because I do think that society does have a way, certain ideals are pushed upon us, and mm-hmm. it's okay if you don't want those things. And it's also okay if you desire them, but not in that season mm-hmm. and not to rush these things. Like, there's right. been this whole narrative for years around 30 being the benchmark. You have to have the marriage, the house, the kids, all these things by 30. And I found that I had some people in my life that weren't looking forward to turning 30. Whereas for me, I actually started the podcast with a series called 30, Flirty, and Thriving, because I was ready to turn 30. I enjoyed my 20s, but I was excited. I find life is a privilege.
Yeah.
So I was very excited to embark on a new decade. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is that I would get to celebrate the full decade and make mm-hmm. it to 40.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm not shaming anyone if that's not their mindset, because I completely understand the pressures behind it, but that was my mindset. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to reframe that narrative mm-hmm. for people. So I think by you saying that, even asking the question of, do I actually want this, or is it because I'm seeing it?
Right.
And just understanding that you may not be in that season. I have yet to be a homeowner, mm-hmm. yet to be a homeowner.
Right.
But I understand that I'm not in the position yet to do that. But I mm-hmm. still will celebrate the people in my life that are. And also, right. guess what? The blessing in that is I get to learn from you.
Right.
Tell me about your process. What did you do so that you set yourself up for success, not just in this process, but post ownership, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I think that's another way to look at it. If you have these friends that are in the season where they're celebrating engagement mm-hmm. and babies, learn from them. And my prayer is that you have friends that will, you have solid friendships that they'll be willing to be transparent with you and say, hey, this is what I'm excelling at. This is what I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
And this is what I would encourage you to prepare for.
Exactly. And that's like a really key point. I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, you don't want friends that are just saying, oh, buying a home is so lovely. I love mm-hmm. that I have all this space now. I love that I own it. Like, you want yeah. friends that are also going to be like, I did not expect this big repair bill because my HVAC went out, or
yeah.
you want friends that show you the whole thing, not just the highlight reel of it all.
Yes. I completely agree. But I also think in order to have people in your life that do that, taking it back to something that you said at the top of the episode, I think it takes having a certain love and security within yourself where you're able to be honest and be like, I was thriving yesterday. Today, it took a second, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and just being willing to say that.
Yeah. And one person has to be that person. You know, I mm-hmm. think somebody has to have the courage to be vulnerable, to like
yes.
make that the conversation. Because you could yeah. feasibly go to brunch with your girlfriends and everybody goes around and they give an update. And it's like, well, how are you? Oh, I'm doing really good, you know, and like you can keep it surface, but I hate friendships. Like if I feel like I have to be like that with a person, I don't want to do this.
This is true. No, I want let's really talk because yep. that's when true intimacy is formed.
Yep.
And growth evolves from that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. In all relationships.
Yep.
Okay. So I want to get back to the room list. So tell me why it's important for you to focus on matching Black singles.
Yeah. I mean, I think bring it back to what we talked about the history of matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I think as Black people, I would like us to have that mindset a little bit more of about the benefits of marriage, not just yes. companionship and love, but uh-huh. Married people, they make more money. Married people have higher home ownership rates. Married people live longer. So mm-hmm. there are a lot of benefits to marriage mm-hmm. outside of love. And we don't get those benefits if we're not getting to that place. And, yeah. you know, the marriage rate amongst every racial group has fallen significantly in the last mm-hmm. like 20, 30, 40 years. But amongst mm-hmm. Black people, it has fallen more than any other group. Mm-hmm. And so we're not realizing a lot of those benefits that come with marriage. And especially for men, I mean, men actually do benefit in marriage more than women do. Mm-hmm. Men tend to, like a married man at work versus an unmarried man, married men make more money.
Mm.
Again, married men versus a single man, married men tend to live longer. So mm-hmm. there are a lot of just benefits to marriage. And, you know, if you just think about it, even from a financial perspective, like the income that you'll get, the housing that you'll be able to get, like, and these are things that build generational wealth.
Yeah.
And so I want us to tap into marriage as an investment in the future and in four generations. And so this is the big reason that I specifically focus on Black people.
Mm. Talk heavy, sis. So I want to ask you, from a historical standpoint in your experience, why do you feel that marriage has not been prioritized in the Black community in the way that it should I don't want to say in comparison to, but just in comparison to other communities, when you're looking yeah. at other communities, why do you think that is?
I mean, it's not even why I think it is. It's mm-hmm. it's historical
yes.
fact that you know how what has happened to Black people in America mm-hmm. has created this. So yeah. you know, if we're thinking, go back to slavery, just homes are being broken up, families are being broken up. Mm-hmm. Take it back to the 80s when, you know, they were tearing apart Black families and throwing Black yep. men in jail for very simple offenses and unjustly most of the time. So yep. we're, again, breaking up Black homes yep. and that has continued generationally. So this mm-hmm. is why we see this more in the Black community than other communities. That has not happened to other communities. You know, so we didn't necessarily in some cases even have a choice. Mm-hmm. And that has been hard to rebuild and hard to get back to that.
Mm. So I want to touch on that some more because I completely agree. And I just positioned the question that way because I wanted to get your professional yeah. opinion. So there has been over the past few years. Now, I will say, I don't know if it's just me perfecting my algorithm, but I'm seeing a lot less of these conversations. But the past few years, there has been a lot of rhetoric regarding marriage, dating, relationships, specifically within the Black community, within platforms such as this. It hasn't been positive conversations. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I will say, I'm someone that understands the value in diverse thought. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to reside in an echo chamber.
Right.
However, I do think there's a difference between diverse thought and having dialogue for the sake of resolution. And then there's yelling at people just mm-hmm. for the sake of clickbait mm-hmm. and making a profit. And in my opinion, that is the latter is what we've seen a lot of, which is disappointing yep. to me, because it contributes to the statistics that you just discussed that historically have placed Black people at a disadvantage mm-hmm. when it comes to getting to marriage and then sustaining marriages, which you just listed out all of the benefits of marriage for mm-hmm. us.
Right.
So my question to you, and I didn't even realize this, but a girlfriend mentioned this to me. She said, Jess, I think a lot of people are weeping out loud and they don't realize that they're weeping.
Mm-hmm.
So the point that I'm trying to get to land the plane is that, do you think that our history has gotten us to a point of frustration where it has become a battle of the sexes within the Black community? That's the first part to my question. And the yeah. second part is, how do you think we heal that process?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do think that social media has really heightened this idea that there's no good Black men out there. They're mm-hmm. all Black women are like this. And like,
right.
And I don't think it's real. Mm-hmm. I think it is a lot of, like you said, clickbait fodder. And I'm not saying that there aren't bad experiences. Of course there are. Right. There are bad experiences in every culture. There, you know, are people not doing what they're supposed to. But I don't actually think that is the majority. It is the majority mm-hmm. that I see on social media, but mm-hmm. it is not the majority of my own lived experience, that of right. the people that I know, and that of my clients. And so Agreed. The people that I am dealing with on a day-to-day basis, this isn't what I'm hearing. I'm not mm-hmm. hearing, and you know, the whole thing ended because he cheated on me and he's so horrible and da 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 da. Yes, right. that happens. But like, it's not as bad as we see or we think it is. And mm-hmm. I think because of what people are seeing, it has almost made them gun shy to get out and have their own experiences, because they're sitting at home thinking, well, I don't even want to get into any of that. It's so horrible out there. These mm-hmm. women are doing this and these men are doing that. And they spread the
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Stories without actually mm-hmm. having lived any of it themselves.
Mm.
And that's the danger in it, is that people start to believe it.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, not to bring up the current state of the union, but I right. think there's a lot of that going on, you know, in that same way where it's like,
yes,
we're clicking and this and that, and it's stressful. And uh-huh. I'm like, just live it yourself and ignore all that is happening uh-huh. and just like live your life.
Style Crew. Remember when I told you that we had some new sponsors for this season? Well, I cannot wait to tell you more about one of our newest sponsors, Brit's Body Butter. I am actually holding some of her fragrance oils, which are my favorite products from her. And my favorite fragrance that I wear on repeat and I constantly get compliments when I wear it is the Amber Vanilla. So I am a vanilla girly. I wear this fragrance throughout the year, but I wear it in different combinations to be appropriate for the season. And I love layering my fragrances. I first came about her products at an event here in Atlanta. She was one of the pop-up vendors, and I instantly fell in love. I purchased the Amber Vanilla, the Summer's Love, and the Strawberry Passion. And as you can see, I have been using them all pretty frequently, but mostly the Amber Vanilla. And how I like to use this product is I will spray it on my pulse spots. So behind both of my ears, I'll spray it at the nape of my neck, in front of my neck, in between on my chest, as well as the crease of my arm, as well as right at the beginning of my underarm. Because as the night goes on, you might start to sweat. You want to make sure you're smelling great. And this product really helps aid with that. And then I'll follow it up by topping it with my fragrance choice of the evening, whichever perfume I choose to wear. I find that this fragrance, particularly the Amber Vanilla, pairs really well with a variety of perfumes. And so after I apply the perfume on top of the oil, which would be on my pulse spots, then I'll follow up with a body mist, spray it throughout my hair, all over my body, on my clothing. And then I'm good to step out the door and get all of the compliments of, oh, you smell so great. And one of the other things that I love about this product, you know that I love supporting small-owned businesses. And this is another Black woman-owned business, and they are completely integral in their process. You can get in touch with someone easily, and I just can't recommend them enough. I can't tell you how much I love the products, and I always get compliments. Just to tell you a little bit more about Brit's Body Butter, at Brit's Body Butter and Oils, we believe that beauty goes beyond the surface. True beauty comes from within and is reflected in how we treat ourselves, others, and the planet. Our philosophy is rooted in mindfulness, positivity, and sustainability. Experience the pure, lasting hydration of Brit's Body Butter and Oils. Your skin will be sure to thank you. And so for the listeners, you know I have a code for you. The code is Styled by Jess. That is STYLEDBYJESS. And this will get you 15% off of your purchase. So don't think about it. Go ahead and run to britsbodybutter.com. That is spelled BRITTSBODYBUTTER.com. And be sure to use the code Styled by Jess, STYLEDBYJESS, for 15% off your purchase. And with that, let's get back into this episode.
Yes. And most of the time with clients, when they tell me, Tanisha, I don't think I want to go out with that person again that you set me up with. Mm-hmm. It's never like, this was so bad. It was just, I didn't necessarily feel like we clicked in that way, or like, right, I didn't feel that spark that I want to feel, you know?
Yeah.
So it's simple things. It doesn't label anybody as a bad person. It just didn't work, and that's okay.
Right.
So I think we need to stop turning to social media to get our information on what is really going on in dating. I think that we need to experience it for ourselves. And the only way to do that is to do that. And does that mean you're going to have some bad experiences? You will. But like, they won't all be this horrible, just everybody is bad. And I hate to see when Black women and Black men are pitted against each other.
Like, agreed.
If we all want the same thing at the end of the day, like, why are we doing that? I think human beings, regardless of race, like, we want love, we want connection, we want companionship. Like, those are just basic human needs. We want those things. Men want those things, women want those things. And so, like, there's no, what are we fighting over? Like, right. What exactly is it that we are fighting over? I don't understand.
I don't understand either. Well, let me take that back. That's not a true statement. I can't relate because a lot of these conversations, again, are not my lived experience.
Right.
So the rhetoric behind black men are so this, black women are so this. And in my head, I'm thinking, I've never, like the black women right. that are in my life that played a role in raising me are not these things that are being thrown out. And the same for my dad, the black man that raised me and who I've chosen to be in a relationship with. So I do think that I agree with you. I think there's a lot of groupthink going on. I think that unfortunately, it's a lot easier for people to sway negatively instead of positive. And once something is put out there, it's easy for that to pick up traction and it just forms a life of its own without people actually living the experience. And I will give people the benefit of the doubt. Some people may be living certain experiences. Yes. I completely understand that as well. And I want to take that into account. However, comma, I think that there's just a lot of things floating around that are not applicable to every person's life.
Yeah. And yeah. I think like, well, two things. One, I feel like bad attitudes are like a cold or a flu. If you're mm-hmm. around it too much, you're going to catch it. Mm-hmm. So like you should exit. If you see somebody up here just coughing out negativity, cover mm-hmm. your mouth and move on because you don't yeah. want to catch it. Like you don't want, because that's going to get into how you think about life and how you're moving. And you don't want that. No. Two, if you are a person that this is your lived experience of just negative experiences with men or negative experiences with women or in the dating market, I encourage you to like take a look at like why that is for you, not mm-hmm. like, because you can't change people. Like you right. can't go out here and change all men or change all women. So if you're a person that's like, I keep running into these men, if you're a woman that's like, I keep running into these men that are habitually cheating on me or habitually lying to me or not treating me the way that I deserve to be treated, don't go to social media and start complaining about that. Right. Sit with yourself and think, why was I attracted to that man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why did I stay with that man maybe yeah. if he did something that like I didn't want or I didn't like or was completely disrespectful to me? What yeah. in me made me stay in that situation? And then yeah. after you've sort of examined your past and your reasoning, then think about how and what you will do differently so that you do not continue to be in the space of those types of people or attract those types of people. So, and a lot of the time, going back to what I said, the first thing I said, like, fall so in love with yourself that you won't attract those people. You wouldn't stand for something like that. If somebody even remotely disrespects you, you're like, I love me. So I don't know who is treating me like this, but you will not be treating me like this. Mm-hmm. And so we do have the power to prevent certain people from entering our lives. So let's not mm-hmm. act like we don't. We do have the power to cultivate the types of relationships we want to cultivate with the types of people. Does that mean it'll be immediate? I snap my fingers, there's my dream man? No, but you really have to get back to a space of you. You have to get back to understanding who you are, what your motivations are, what you need to work on, and you need to fall in love with yourself before any right person will fall in love with you.
Mm. She said what she said, y'all. She said what she said. So the other question I wanted to touch on is, in your screening process, you match singles based on 50 areas of compatibility. What are the top five areas that you of compatibility that you focus on and you would encourage our listeners that are single and dating to focus on?
Yeah. So the ones that we generally go over, so we literally go over everything from like your communication style. So I ask a simple question, like, when you're talking to somebody that you're newly dating, do you prefer to talk on the phone? Do you prefer to text? Are you the type of person where if we have a date on Friday, we'll see each other on Friday and that's that? Or if we have a date on Friday, do you want to like call me on Monday, text me on Tuesday, send me an article on Wednesday? Like these are little things, but they're so important because communication and lack thereof is generally what, and miscommunication is generally what drives, you know, this whole like, and I don't know why I didn't hear from him. And I was supposed to, like, you just need to understand what a person's communication style is and be very clear about what yours is. So if you are the type of person that, you know, I'm going to want to hear from you, like, you should indicate that. Like, you should indicate that in some way. And if a person doesn't need that, you should say, hey, I would have liked to have heard from you, like, before our date on Friday. And say these things versus sitting in your own head and wondering. The communication style is a big one. We talk about religious background, family background. So, you know, for some people, that is very important that they marry somebody or be with somebody of a similar, you know, religious aspect, financial aspect, political aspect. So, you know, these major buckets are all ones we talk about. We talk about sex. We talk about finances. You know, I dive into like therapy. Are you in therapy? What have you gotten out of therapy? Is it important for you that a partner, you know, is aware of their own emotional and mental state, and how important is that? And now I think the business and what I ask and how I ask it has really evolved with my own life. And just being fully honest here, I don't think I asked enough before about family in terms of what and how they want to raise a family. And again, that is a very important thing. But now in having one, I'm like, yeah, we need to talk a lot more about how you will be raising children. A recent question that I started asking is, let's say that you have a baby. And I ask this to both men and women, but I'll say to the men, who, you know, when you have a baby, like you have to wash bottles or like pump parts and there's all these things. Do you think you should do that? Or do you think that like the mom should do that? Like who should do that? And these seem so trivial.
But they're not, right?
It's a big deal. Oh, I will tell you, I am still resentful over washing some bottles. I still am not. Yeah.
So these are the real life things that we were talking about earlier. So
I asked the big bucket things, but lately I've started asking just more parental type of questions to the people that, you know, want to have children and want to have a family in that way. So I really try to go over every aspect. I talk about past relationships. I ask about every single significant relationship a person has ever had. Literally like, tell me about your high school sweetheart and like what happened, you know, how it went, why it ended, what you learned from that. Because I think that's important that you, if you're going to be in a serious situation, that you've learned from everything in your past. Like it hasn't been perfect, and I'm not saying it should be, but like you should have come out of every relationship being like, man, I shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z, or I wish I would have done X, Y, and Z in my next relationship. Here's what I want to do better or different to make sure that that is a success. You need to be learning and growing. Like I don't think anybody under like 30 really should be married. And part of that is I think your 20s really should be used for exploring dating and exploring yourself and like figuring that out. So like, it should be this learning process. And in that, in every interaction, what am I learning from this person? What am I learning about myself? And like, this should build and build and build and build.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Everything that you said, the levels of compatibility, like the values, the things that you ask. And it's not small asking about, okay, who's going to wash the bottles and the pump pieces, and you know, what are we going to do if I have a meeting and you have a meeting?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Eating in the baby needs mm-hmm. to be picked up from daycare, and like these types of things. I don't think these are small questions. Yeah. I think these play a huge role.
Yep.
And
oh, sorry, there's one other big one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to touch on. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
I ask. So I'm from a two parent household, and for me personally, I always thought I would want to be with somebody from a two parent household. I think they'll structurally. They just understand. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is still my desire. And that is how it turned out. But mm-hmm. I think I started going another layer deeper on that. So it's not just about we're both your parents around, but like, what relationship did you see them have? So mm-hmm. like, was your mom doing the majority of stuff at home? Were they both doing it? Were they like affectionate towards each other? Like, what did you see growing up? Because how we grew up and what we saw growing up informs so much of who we become. And mm-hmm. once we become that person, it's so hard to change it unless mm-hmm. you are very, very intentional about it. Mm-hmm. Like you practice it every single day. And yeah. so it's also important to understand how your partner grew up and what they saw growing up and therefore what messages they have received and what they think about relationships and what they think it should be. Because that is, again, the miscommunication around relationships and long-term relationships and marriage. It's neither of you is right or wrong, but there is definitely a belief of how one person thinks it should be and how they think it should be is generally based on what they observed growing up. So if a person saw their parents hugging and kissing all the time, in their minds, they're like, well, that is what you do. You show mm-hmm. that sort of affection. That is just what marriage is, right?
Yeah.
If a person did not see that on the opposite spectrum, they might be like, oh, well, that's not like something we need to do. Like, we don't need to do that all the time. That's not like something we display, you know?
Right.
And again, neither person's right or wrong, but these are the sorts of questions that I want people to ask like early on in dating, like those next level questions of, you know, what did you see?
Okay. I like it. And I also like that you were willing to share that now that you've had your own life experiences, you are asking different questions because you have a different point of reference. Yep, so exactly. Yeah, I think that's important too. Very important. Okay. So the next question I wanted to ask you. So what are some common mistakes that you see when it comes to dating, when before your clients come to you when they've been doing it just completely on their own?
I think there's an expectation versus mm-hmm. reality for where people are at, right?
Okay.
So when we are in a relationship versus when we are having our first or second date, like the expectation should be different because a person doesn't know you. They don't know your needs and wants and all of those things yet. And so it is your job to teach them. So sometimes people come to me and they're like, I have been going out with these men or these women and they do X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, how long were you seeing them? Or like, what was the situation? Well, it was a couple weeks. And so we have to sort of, I'm not saying lower your expectations, but just understand that a person doesn't know you in the beginning, and it is your job to teach them about you and teach them how you want to be treated and your needs. I mean, obviously, basic respect, basic communication should be mm-hmm. there and just given. But I'm saying for a person to specifically know what you want, you have to share that. So a lot of times, I think that's a big mistake that I see coming in is just what they expect versus where they're actually at in the relationship. Another mm-hmm. big thing I see is just people have a list And I don't discourage a list. Like, I think you should be very clear mm-hmm. on the type of person that you're looking for. But I think the best position that you can be in is being very clear on your needs, wants, morals, values, goals, all of the things, but mm-hmm. also having like an openness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the big ones that I come up against, which annoys me, is this idea of, I would never date a person and insert anything, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, why count that out so heavily? You know what I'm right. saying? So, and it can be ones that are simple as like, I mean, I live in New York City. I would never date a person that doesn't live in New York City. And I'm like, so you mean to tell me?
Yeah.
I can introduce you to your perfect person. Like mm-hmm. everything they just meet. They're funny. They're smart. They want the same things. Like mm-hmm. all.
And you're letting just a not like long. We're not talking about like a long distance dating situation, but
yeah, but just the like, closed offness. You know, I just hate when anybody starts that. Well, I would never. And I'm just like, don't say that. Like, don't close yourself off. If anything, mm-hmm. just find more ways to open yourself up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think just having an openness when it comes to dating, again, I'm not saying lower your standards, but there mm-hmm. are areas where you can compromise and that yes. doesn't change who a person is. So like mm-hmm. compromise in those areas if you can.
Yeah. What would you encourage our listeners that may be dating, like what areas of compromise? I know you just gave us one example. Are there any other examples of compromise that can be made in minor areas? Like, for the record, we're not saying compromise yourselves. Right. And if you're not into polyamory, go be with someone that wants three girls. We're not saying that, but what are some other ways?
Yeah.
That
I would say the next biggest one is like looks and height. So I think you should be attracted to somebody.
Yes.
But I also think attraction can grow. Like, I also think when you start to like a person and fall in love with them, I think the attraction that you feel for them, like the physical attraction, can grow. And so a lot of the times people will count people out right away because they're like, he's too short. Like, I can't date somebody that isn't 6 foot or taller. Like, but why?
Yeah.
Like, again, you're telling me if I presented you with somebody who met all the things you want and you're like, well, he's like 5'10". So like, I'm not going to be attracted and this can't work.
Yeah.
I mean, you're 5'5". Why? Why can't it work?
Right.
So areas like that, the height one is a big one that bothers me. Because it's unnecessary. It doesn't, like, what is the benefit? And this is what I always ask people when I feel like they're holding on to things that they shouldn't hold on to. I always ask, well, what is the benefit? Like, tell me how that benefits you to have a man that's like 4 inches taller. Like, tell me the benefit. And the benefit generally comes from how they feel they are seen by the world. Like, they feel like, well, I am seen with, and they don't say it in this way, but this is what I've garnered, but they generally feel like, well, I am seen with a tall, strong man, which means I am loved and I am protected and I am all the things. So it's just how it looks. And again, this goes back to what we were saying earlier about, do you want the thing because you want the thing, or do you want the thing because you think you should have the thing because other people have the thing, or how it looks to other people?
Okay.
And so these are the things I try to pull back. Like, what is the benefit of the thing to you? And if at the end of the day it really has no benefit that you can point to, you don't really have to hold on to that characteristic or thing.
Yeah.
So yes, height is one, location is one. One that I've heard that I think is ridiculous is how people dress. I'm like, that's like one trip to the mall. Why are you here?
We can fix this.
I could change that in 30 minutes. Very fixable. And again, anything, like you said, that is changeable or fixable, that doesn't speak to the values of who a person is or like the core of who they are. Like, those are probably things that you can compromise on.
I agree. Yeah. The wardrobe, like, that's the reason stylists exist.
Exactly. So. Fix that. I'm going to call you.
Yes, we can fix that. That is fixable. If that man is treating you right, Savannah, we can fix the wardrobe.
Exactly.
Okay. So on the flip side of that, what are some common positive behaviors or desires that you see across the board? I know you mentioned that, you know, common thing we all desire, love and things of that nature, but what are some just common endearing things that you notice with your clients?
I love when people are ready, and I can tell mm-hmm. that they're ready, meaning mm-hmm. that they're not focused on the trivial little things, but yeah. they're truly thinking about the future and truly thinking about the big picture and those things that are important in a partner. And I love it, especially when I could tell when I see it in a man, like instantly. Mm. Like there are some men out there that are just, they're ready. And for a man, the readiness usually comes when they feel like they've accomplished what they wanted to from like a career perspective or like financially, then mm-hmm. they have the confidence to feel like I'm like ready to get my woman. And mm-hmm. I love it when they're at that place. So I would say positive traits, people who are at where they want to be individually and personally, and therefore mm-hmm. they feel ready enough to give to a partner in a relationship. Mm. Another great green flag is just somebody who has like a joy and a happiness about them and, mm-hmm. and is like open to life. Yeah. So again, I talked a lot about just positivity. Mm-hmm. when people have that, like those are, you want to be around those people because when times get bad, they're like, all right, let me see the bright side. Let's look at how this can be better. So just people with like a positive attitude and like a positive energy. Another one that I see is like, and this goes back to doing all you can for yourself and falling in love with you. But mm-hmm. people who have like a routine about their lives. So people mm-hmm. who are like, you know, I work out at this time, I work at this time. Like they've just kind of got like, life's not perfect, but they've mm-hmm. got their ducks in a row. And so mm-hmm. they're truly like the full version of themselves. Mm-hmm. And those are the types of people you want to be with. So people who are just, they fully embraced who they are. They know who they are. They're confident in who they are. Those types of people, like they're generally like ready. Mm-hmm. other green flags, somebody who has been to therapy or is in therapy, nobody's life is perfect. We all have things we need to work on, but people who are conscious about what they need to work on. Mm-hmm. You know, when they enter a relationship, they know if something comes up, they can take responsibility and be like, well, I know that I'm working on this thing or struggling with this. So maybe it's me. Like mm-hmm. where they're able to like take a look at themselves, and because they know I'm flawed in this area or I need to work on this area. So yeah. maybe I am the person that's looking at this wrong. Whereas, you know, you don't want somebody who they don't know that about themselves. And so they'll never be willing to take responsibility for anything because in their minds, they've done it all. They're perfect, you know? Right. So somebody that understands emotional and mental health. What's another one? Just somebody who like is like fun and like likes to have a good time and isn't so focused on what that has to be and what that has to be like. Mm-hmm. I really like planning fun dates for my clients. So I've done everything from like pottery to indoor rock climbing mm-hmm. to axe throwing to boating to whatever it may be. But I mm-hmm. like people who are just open to whatever that is, who are just like, yeah, I mean, it's me and I'm here and I'm a good time. So I'm going to have a good time regardless of what I'm doing. So just this and all these things I talked about are just good life traits. And so when people have those, they're going to generally want to be good partners.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Everything you said was very positive, and all of them are things that are really important. And something similar that you said in that series I spoke about, the 30 Flirty and Thriving, I did an episode titled Dating After 30, and I interviewed this couple, Kelvin and Lanice. They met, they were long distance, and now they're in the same city together in Atlanta, and they chronicled their journey. And one of the things they talked about is just how they both, one of the things they encourage singles to do is to have hobbies. Like, not like, oh, I just went and found this so I could find someone, but like, who are you? What do you actually enjoy? Because he was saying that was one of the things that attracted him to Lanice. Like, she had her schedule and she had things that she was already committed to in her life, and the same for him. And them coming together was just lanyap. It wasn't like them filling a gap for each other. It was like, we both desire companionship and we're working towards marriage, but it's not like I'm unhappy until this person comes.
Mm-hmm.
That situation.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Like, happy people are great to be with.
They are. They really are. Okay. So the next question I want to ask you is, how do you feel that we continue to break the cycle to hear one another in these dating situations and be solution focused so that ultimately we can find love, love can find us, and we can get to the goal of marriage? How do we do that?
You're saying like in an already existing relationship?
Or just in this dating climate, if you have two singles that have found each other, how do we make sure that if we're a fit, that we're nurturing the relationship and drowning out the rhetoric and just any negativity to get to the root? Not saying that you won't face adversity, but how do you navigate even that part of dating? Navigate the challenges and diversity of learning each other.
One of the questions I ask in the vetting process is, when you notice something that you don't like or an issue arises, do you observe it for a while or do you tend to speak up right away?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important question because this is about how people communicate around conflicts. Mm-hmm. And neither is right or wrong necessarily. But it's important to understand how somebody communicates when there is a conflict. So even just the understanding of that will stop a lot of conflicts. So in the beginning, that's a conversation to have. So when we get into a conflict, not if, because we will, how do you handle that? Do you need some time and some space to just like marinate and let things be? Do you want to like dive into things and talk about it right away? You know, like, do you just need some time to cool off? Do you want to be away from me? Do you just want to sit and together and not talk about it? Because again, even that in trying to solve a conflict can cause conflict if we don't know how the other person solves or looks at conflict. And even again, how they look at conflict. Some people understand that conflict is just a part of life and they deal with it and it's up and down and it's fine. And it's just a part of it. Where other people, depending again on what they saw and how they grew up and what foundation is there, they might view that as like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. We're fighting. We'll never get better. What are we going to do? And so you have to understand how your partner sees and views conflict. And again, what they saw growing up. I think that's a huge one, and people don't talk about it. Even when there is a conflict, they're trying to combat the conflict, but not talking about how they're feeling about the fact that there is a conflict. So as much as you can before, you know how you when you were younger in school, we did like fire drills. You almost need to do like conflict drills. So like, we don't have a conflict right now. So this is the best time to talk about how we're going to solve a conflict when we don't have a conflict. Because when we got a fire and we're scrambling and we're nervous and we're, you know, like you're anxious, like it's not the time to be like, how do you like to solve conflict? Like, so these are
questions. I like that.
So talk about this in the beginning. I actually, I put him through my vetting process. Like, I literally sat down, took notes, and I was like, okay, question one. and I'm not saying you have to be that extreme about it, but I do think you have to have these conversations of what we will do when, and bad things will happen. So what will we do when? What will we, and sometimes you're not, you should see people through all seasons of life, but sometimes you're not able to observe them in all situations. So you should at least ask the question of how have they handled these things in the past and how would they want to handle these things with you? What are they comfortable with? So really the key is just communication around everything that you can think of. And I know that there's like cards and for these and like different couples sort of games and things like this, but you can also just sit down and like ask these questions about different areas. Because again, you want to come up with, I think systems in life make everything easier. So whether that's a corporate job, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a mom, like if you have a system, it makes it that much easier so that there's not like, well, what do we do now? And so creating a system for communication and for conflict. Again, going back to, you know, it's as simple as, do you like for me to text you? Or do you just prefer to like, we talk when we get home? Or like at work, are you so busy that you can't text me back? Or like, you know, if I text you, it's super urgent, so I want you to get back to me. Or like, I feel like you're not thinking about me when you don't text me. Like have these conversations as much as you can before the issues arise.
I think that's good. I love the conflict drills.
Yes, yes.
I love that. I think that's
like we're fighting. What do we do?
No, I think that's something I want to implement into my own relationship. I like that. Yeah. And she coined that term. You all are going to give my girl her credit.
Conflict drills.
Tanisha of the broom list. Nobody be haters out there and try to point out.
But you have to practice these things, and mm-hmm. you know, you have to hold each other accountable and call each other out. Once you come up with a system, you know, if somebody's not following the system, say, hey, we agreed that like when we have a conflict that we would just give each other some space. And I feel like you're not giving me that space right now. You're kind of in my face and I need some space because that is what we agreed to. So like, I'm going to go take my space. Don't take it personally. It's not about you. I need my space.
I like it. Conflict drills and then hold each other accountable to what was determined in the drill when the conflict arises. I like that.
Exactly. And I think for couples too, I think you have to have sort of your sacred times and your sacred moments. Like life gets busy. And by the way, this advice doesn't just go for couples. I think this actually goes for like friendships too. Cause as you're in adult friendships and life gets busy, it can be easy not to maintain those friendships. Like, if you think about like the reason that it was easy for you to make friends and keep friends when you were younger is because those people were always around you. Like you saw your friends every day at school, after school, without planning it ever because you were around them. And as you get older, like that proximity isn't there. And as you get busier, like you're working and you have families and you have children, it just adds on and adds on. And so I think in every significant relationship in your life, you sort of need to have these rituals with each other. So that might be, you know, with your girlfriend, every Sunday, we go do Pilates together 2 Sundays a month. And that is like our thing. So if we don't see each other, if we don't get to talk, we know that like that is when we will connect. And for relationships, I think that needs to be very similar because you can live with a person. And again, once you start having families, maybe somebody travels for work, you can be disconnected. You can get to times where you're like, I see you and I'm around you, but actually haven't had a real conversation with you in like a month. Like that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But it can happen. And so you need to have these sacred times / rituals where it's like, okay, once a month, we go do date night, or once a month we go on a hike, whatever it is, but in some way that allows the connection to keep flourishing and to keep growing despite all the other things that are going to happen because they are going to happen.
Right. They will happen. And I agree with everything that you said. It's important to put those things in place. So when life happens, you are still staying connected and nurturing that connection, and you don't look up and so much growth has happened on both ends and you're like, okay, we've done.
You want to grow together, not apart.
Yeah. I agree. So I am going to close it out with just a fun game for you. The last two questions are just like a fun fill in the blank. So complete this sentence for me. Mm-hmm. Black love is
amazing. Everything. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So the next question, I feel blank for the current state of dating and relationships?
I feel hopeful.
You took the out. Okay, get out of my head. I was hoping you would say hopeful.
I feel hopeful.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. And I think everyone else will feel more encouraged and optimistic after hearing this episode.
I hope so. I hope so. Good people. Yeah. I just want to encourage everybody. Good people are out there. And I know because I talk to them personally every single day. There are good people out there who want love. They want companionship. They want commitment. They want a future. Like, there are good people, men and women.
Yes. I love it. So I like to close out the episode by asking my guests a style related question, because the title of the podcast is, of course, Style and Conversation. So I wanted to ask you, what did you wear on your first date with your partner?
What did I wear? Okay. I had on this suit. Oh, this is the first day we met, not our first date.
Okay.
The first day we met, I had on, it's kind of a, what do you call those skirts that kind of go like this, where they start out like it's skinny at the waist and then they kind of go.
Oh,
out.
Like an A-line?
Like an A-line skirt. Uh-huh. Just like a black mock neck sort of thing. And then I had on this little leather jacket. I had these Argyle pattern tights, and then just these cute little boots. And I love that outfit. That is like one of my go-to, like, I'm just doing my thing outfits. So I had that on the first time we met. Okay. And and I do actually, this doesn't have to do with your question, but I think this is a good thing if you're meeting somebody and you're out. Yeah. I think something that I said to him just randomly out of the blue for no good reason at all, just to maybe see if he would do it. I said, show me the last 5 photos in your phone.
Oh, did he show you?
He showed me.
I love it.
And then I showed him mine as well, but it's just like that's a vulnerable way to just, you know.
Icebreaker. Like, that's
yeah,
a really
cool total icebreaker. Yeah.
That is really cute. I like that.
Yeah. So next time you're out, you kind of like somebody, just test them a little bit, see how open they are.
I'm thinking now, I feel like if somebody asked me, I just screen recorded a video from my dog at daycare yesterday. And then like the last few would be like some shopping photos, some handbags.
But that's such a cute way.
Yeah.
That says so much about you and just the 2 photos that you talked about. Like, you're into style and shopping. That's what you do. Obviously love your dog. So like that opens up so much conversation.
Yeah. That is a really cute icebreaker. See, that's why you're the expert. That's why you're the expert and people need to hit you up, which leads me to the next portion. So this is the part of the episode we have heard so much about you, and you're about to be booked and busy. So I want you to tell the listeners where they can find you, how to keep up with you, if you have any upcoming projects that we can support. Just give us all the things.
Absolutely. So you can find me at Tanisha Wood on everything. So just TenishaWood on Instagram, Facebook. I don't really do TikTok, but I have a TikTok, but I'm trying to get into TikTok, but I'm there.
With you.
My website is onthebroomlist.com. If you do want to sign up or learn more about matchmaking, you could just go there. There's an application form, fill out the form, and then we'll get in touch.
I love it. Well, I just want to say it has been an absolute pleasure having you on. I'm very excited about our conversation, and I'm confident that the listeners will gain so much from your wisdom, and you'll have many of them reaching out to you to get your expertise and find their person. So I just wanted to thank you and close out the episode by that. And that's all. Style Crew, we'll see you next Thursday as we continue this relationship series. And we are out.
Thank you, Jessica.
Hey, Style Crew. Make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.